Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Nick, and today I have a very special guest. I have August top 10 finalist of the Maxine's Challenge. I've got Frances Vidakovic. Thanks for joining me, Frances.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be on the podcast, and what a complete honor and privilege it is to be here with you today.
Oh, that's nice. Well, thank you. Thanks for taking the time out. Now, tell me just a little bit about yourself and a bit about how you came to be involved with the challenge and have such ultimate success with it.
Okay, I'm probably like the unlikely top 10 candidate because I was so surprised when I made it in the top 10. So just a little bit about myself or how I got into the challenge. So firstly, my name is Frances Vidakovic. I have run a few websites where I have a parenting website called inspiringlifedreams.com and my personal development, which is dreambigmyfriend.com. So I'm all about helping other people achieve their goals, dream big and so forth. And it's quite ironic because I was doing that in every other area of my life, like totally killing it. And health was one that I sort of let slip, especially during that time, during lockdown this year, where for the first time, I hate saying that the words like the weight crept on, when weight technically never creeps on, like you obviously have to overeat and not move your body enough in order for that to happen. But I came to a point where it sort of crept on a little bit throughout lockdown, and I found myself weighing more than I probably ever had since post having kids. And the night before the challenge began, I had a friend, a really close friend, who ended up in the top 10 with me. Her name's Amanda. And she said to me, we have to do this. Like, enough about complaining about how we're just getting older and putting on weight. Like, we've got to actually, like, do something different. And so I'd never heard of a challenge before, but I knew that having that accountability was going to be a game changer for me, because it's one thing to say that you'll do something, you know, hazardly to a friend. But when you invest the money, like what you need to do in order to partake in the challenge, you have to like fill in an application form, spend some money, and then your energy is completely different when you show up in that way. Like, I decided that for the next 6 weeks, my health was going to be my priority. And that for me was probably the turning point.
So you had that turning point, and you had had a friend.
Yes. No, actually, I should say I agreed to it, but I'm actually remembering something really funny that happened, which was probably what made me have this determination. I was going to call it relentless determination that I was going to just do this so well, is that on that first night when I signed up, I didn't realize that you actually had to go and take your before photos. And having just come out of a winter, I think I knew the scales had gone up, but I didn't know like how bad the damage was of just all that mindless, you know, like eating. It's like we're always having movie nights, and I knew I was consuming more food than ever, but I didn't realize the impact of it until my daughter, like, I said, Savannah, you got to take my photos for me. And when she took them for me, I was just like mortified. Like, my before photos will always be like my worst photos that I've ever taken of myself actually any age of my life, other than being pregnant. I've never been that heavy. And I think that was like a real wake up call, because it's really easy to sort of see the scales, but until like you put on your swimsuit or your, you know, bikini and your underwear, and you see exactly what that weight looks like. And if it's not what you ideally want your body to look like, you know that in order to do something different, you need to change so many, like you just need to take different actions. Because like they say, if you always do what you always did, you're always going to get what you always got. And I could just see that from here on, if I didn't do something different, I was probably going to head down a path that I would not be happy with, like 100%. So that for me, having those photos was like just a wake up call. Like, no. Yeah. And that was when the decision was made. I think that we often talk about like when a snap happens, it's like, okay, that's enough. And I didn't want to go, you know, I knew I needed to go in a different direction.
So you took the before photos and you just, can you look at them now?
Mortified. And
can you understand how far you've come since those photos?
100%. I think, look, to be honest, I think it almost popped a bubble that night. Was the night that I took my photos, because sometimes a lot of us, if you're not like, even though we say health is our biggest priority, we're always like, if someone, if you ask them what's the most important thing to you, say, well, it's, you know, my family, your kids, your health. And we state it. But for me, I knew that even though I would say that health, of course, is the most important, it wasn't evident in the actions I was taking every day. And it wasn't reflected in the choices I was making. So I knew that it just wasn't like, it wasn't me being my best version of myself. Mm. And I feel like so many, I think I really had to, you have to be honest with yourself when you take your photos, like that first day they make you take your before photos, and you can't like pretend that it just accidentally happened. For me, like, especially like in terms of like having the results that I got, was because I took ownership and I was 100% honest. Like, I could tell you, okay, this is how that weight gain happened. You know, like, we were watching throughout lockdown, like, we were sitting back and enjoying all these movies every night, and we'd pop out the chips and my husband, you know, let's go get some chocolate. Like, I was over consuming, because there's no way that you can actually put on excess weight unless you're over consuming food, unless it's like a medical, underlying medical condition. But that was just me having to face the cold hard truth. And it wasn't, so as soon as I, like, I wasn't a victim, it wasn't like just because I got older, wasn't that. Oh, I should probably note here that one of the things that I found the most inspiring about, like, the moment I joined that at the Maxine's Challenge group, is that I realized how much beforehand, like, society drums into you that, oh, like, when you're older, like, your metabolism always slows down. Maybe it does, but, you know, like, it's inevitable that you're going to put on weight as you get older. And they're beliefs that you don't really question. Like, it's just like society tells you that's the case. So it's like, well, it's normal to put on weight as you get older. And then to see so many people who didn't conform, you know, like, who just had an example of, you know, in having these incredible bodies, like, and they were in their 40s, 50s, 60s. And it was almost like they didn't believe what society told you, you know, like, that our bodies have to, like, fall apart or become really flabby when you're older. Like, I now know that that is absolutely not the truth. So when you're given those great role models and examples of doing things differently, then it shows you that you can do it too.
Yeah, I agree. And I think unless you know better, how are you going to even understand that that's a possibility for you? I mean, the narrative for women in society is often, once you've had kids, that's about it for you. And it's like, oh, you might be able to have a nice job or something like that. But, you know, everyone's an underlier almost. If you lift your weights and you look after yourself and you do all that plus other things, you know, that doesn't actually become your entire existence. It's just like enhancing your existence. So I think that's a really good part of the community that you connected with. And I think sometimes for some people, it's good for them to get through seeing those visuals. It can be quite confronting to see, like, you know, 55-year-old women with shredded abs. And I think get through that, once you can break through that and, yeah, you resonated with it, then you can go, well, that could be me. You know, there's no reason why not.
Yeah, because you start to question your thoughts. Now, I have to say, like, I still do coaching, but I was a full-time coach many years ago. And the first thing that you learn when you, I have a degree in psychology, on that first day when I was sitting in that university theatre, like lecture theatre, they teach you that your thoughts impact your feelings, which impact your actions, which impact your results. Which means that any result that you have in your life, like, has come from the actions that you've taken, but it's been fueled by the thoughts and feelings first. And so, like I said, like, it made me look at the thoughts that have led to the results that I have, because believing that when you get older, like, it's inevitable that you're going to put on weight, or thinking that weight loss has to be hard, or thinking that it's impossible, the moment you hold really tight onto those thoughts, you start to feel frustrated or annoyed or depressed. Like, there's so many feelings that come, and then you can never actually get the results that you want when you have holding on to thoughts like that. So I had to, like, completely reevaluate the thoughts that I had about weight loss, like, considering the fact that it could be easy, or that I could do it if I took it one day at a time. Like, just holding on to thoughts that made me feel inspired and confident to take the right actions. And I noticed that when you believe that change is possible, and I, every single day along the way, like, I had to repeat, I just have to trust the process. I've got to have patience. A lot of us, like, not that we all may, like, self-sabotage ourselves, but we expect that weight loss has to be instant. And for me, I love that 6-week program, because I was willing to just trust the process, take it baby steps at a time, and have faith that this was going to work. And having that faith, I think, fueled me the entire way, because I actually didn't even notice what was happening. It's not like I didn't actually go back and take my after photos until that last day. And I was shocked, I have to say, because I hadn't paid attention to what was happening along the way. I was just honestly, every day I woke up and it's like, okay, I'm just going to, you know, focus today on eating really well. I made sure that I did 2 4-kilometer walks every single day without fail. Another thing that was different, even though like I'm still a working mom, I have a business and I run from work from home, I still had to say health is going to be, I'm going to make this a priority for the next 6 weeks. So nothing else is going to get in my way. Like rain, hail or shine, I would go for those walks. I would eat well, just follow the plan, having faith that it was going to get me the results that I was hoping to achieve in the end. And I did achieve, I lost 5 kilos in the end. And for me, that was a game changer, because 5 kilos is a lot of, I think it was a lot of fat to lose, and it definitely made a difference.
Yeah, it does. That's massive. 5 kilos is huge. And also just that mindset change, and also just kind of cutting through into what's actually important. So it is that movement, you know, and as you said, you know, 2 4K walks. So, you know, that's probably about maybe like 2 and a bit hours of walking, maybe close to 3. So like break it down.
Yeah. Oh, it was like 45 minutes. Yeah. But it was just without fail. I have 2 dogs. So it's like they were the reason for me to get out as well. But it was just morning and night. The gyms weren't open at that point. Mm-hmm. And I didn't let that be an excuse. Because I think that you have, like, you've got to take ownership and realize that, I mean, what I would say to anyone is that you can technically lose, you don't need to have a gym membership. You don't have to eat fancy. I mean, even though we eat really well, I think that was actually an interesting thing for me to learn. I'd probably say this now is that a lot of people overeat because they see food as a source of pleasure as opposed to just a source of fuel. Mm. And that for me, like, it was really interesting because I think I've always known that if I just cut out all the crap, I'd probably lose weight. Like I think that most of us know, if you just cut out all the processed rubbish and all that. So once I took that away and I just started eating according to the plan, or just even if it wasn't strictly according to plan, I just made sure I had so much more protein and nourishing foods. I couldn't believe how much more delicious it was. Like you sort of forget how fantastic healthy food tastes when you're eating the crappy stuff at the same time. But once you remove the excess like sugar and all that, and you go back to like just normal natural foods, it's so much more fulfilling. And I have to say, people often think that you have to like starve to lose weight. I was not hungry ever, like not at one point during the 6 weeks. That's why I kept on thinking, how am I going to lose weight if I'm never hungry? But when you're eating a lot of protein, it actually keeps you properly like satisfied and full. And even if you're eating just a smaller amount of calories, the protein's keeping you totally satisfied. So I never felt hungry. That I think was such a surprise to me, because I think that a lot of us think that you have to like starve yourself to lose weight. And I never, ever felt as if I was ever deprived. Like I, as you know yourself, you know, when you go through the program, the meals are so generous and like you have the most, like the biggest salads, and it was just so nourishing. And that was, I think, a turning point for me as well, realizing that, it's like going back and remembering how fantastic healthy food is and how many options you have. Think about how many amazing salads you can make, and then, you know, like meats and fish and seafood and all that stuff. But healthy food is so delicious if we just don't sort of ruin our palate with the crappy, you know, like the chips and the fried stuff and the sweets that we sort of, I guess, like we sort of have to go back to the normal healthy way of eating, where simple is sometimes best.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's also because that food actually fills you up, as you said, whereas the snacky stuff, you end up eating more calories because it doesn't fill you up, and you might like go back for more. And even just a couple of sticks of chocolate, sure, you can fit it into your plan, but if you write it down and have a look at what it is, it's usually the same calories as a full meal, like some fish and rice and some salad. It's like half a block of chocolate is that. And then you know what? Like if you ate the half a block of chocolate, you'd still want to eat the fish and rice and salad. The other way around, you probably wouldn't as much.
So. I know. Well, I don't actually know if this is true, but someone told me like years ago, like the reason why you're still hungry when you're eating, like consuming like the chocolate, like, you know, it's because your body is actually like begging for the nutrients and vitamins and all that stuff that it needs. And so when you give it empty calories, it hasn't actually got what it needs. So like you have to actually listen to what your body is wanting from you. And that's that actually like is an interesting point for me, is that I think that when anyone puts on weight, you're not listening to what your body needs to you. It's like you're giving into that temptation, or what you in the coaching world we call buffering. Like it's almost like you are feeling emotional and it's like it's how you think you're going to solve a problem. Or like if you're bored, you think that food is a solution. But if you actually strip everything away and you go like, if you were to ask your body, what do you want from me? Like, what can I give you to make you happy? It would probably tell you fruits and vegetables and not the crappy stuff. It's never going to want like a block of chocolate. Like it would never be the answer. Like it really does want to be nourished. And so for me, I think that it was coming back to also like remember like loving your body on your way to weight loss, as opposed to, I don't think that anyone can hate, like some people think, oh, if you hate your body enough, that's going to be the answer to like forcing yourself to follow a diet. And I don't think it's, I think the reverse was true for me. It's like coming back to listening to what it wants from you and like really taking care of it and giving it the respect that it deserves from you. Like you only have one body for the rest of your life. And if you want to take care of it, if you want to live a long and healthy life, you have to take care of it. And that I think was something that I was conscious of right from the beginning, like knowing your why. I think that's really important to tap into in those early days, is like, why do you want to get healthy? And then the answer is often because, especially if you've got kids, like you want to be around for them for the rest of your life. And what are the consequences of the actions? Like if you weren't to make any changes, like anyone that consumes a high amount of sugar is potentially going to lead to diabetes, or there's obesity, heart disease, all those problems. And when you remember your why and you remind yourself the purpose for, you know, like what's going to fuel you to take the right action, for me, that was definitely remembering that my body needs me to take care of it. No one else is going to take care of it. Like that's our job to do. So that was really important for me to acknowledge and just understanding the consequences of your actions. And when you take actions that are, to say, like all the right things, like giving it, you know, the right nutrients that it needs, eating it well, not overstuffing it with food just because you had a temptation that was going to pass in 10 minutes if you just ignored it. That's what I discovered. All those little triggers, like you could just fulfill that desire with eating an apple. Do you know what I mean? Like it can be solved with a glass of water or something. You don't need a whole bag of chips to just because you have that idea into your mind.
Yeah, I think accepting personal responsibility is a big point there that you did. It all ties up together because, you're also responsible for what you put into your body. So it's like that, just that reconnection with the personal responsibility that was sort of triggered by the picture that you can have forevermore now.
I know.
Sort of, I won't go back there. Not that you probably were even thinking about that, but just...
I think that was a thought that definitely entered my mind. It's like, I am never, ever, ever going to let this, like I'm just never going to go back there again. Once you have that snap, then it was, for me, it was just like a turning point. What was I also going to say? You mentioned about personal responsibility, and it's actually really funny that you mentioned that, because when I was pre the challenge, it's really funny how often, I'm Croatian, right? And so like one of, like if someone offers you food, you always accept it. If someone gives you a plate, like you eat it all. It was one of those like things that you've grown up learning to do. And so it's like, if you're like looking about why you put on weight, it's easy to point your fingers and say, well, it's because my mum like gives me so much, she offers me so much food, as if I'm not an adult that can't say no. And I think that another thing that was important for me was, beyond the challenge, is knowing that there's not a finish line. Like it's supposed to like keep on going. It's supposed to be a change that lasts forever. And when you said like personal responsibility, taking ownership, no one can force me to eat food. Someone can offer me food, but if I want to, I can say yes, but I don't have to say yes. Like I'm a grown adult now. And this for me, I think like leading into Christmas and the new year period when everyone's always entertaining, we're always entertaining. We're always out and about, knowing that just because you're sitting in front of a table full of food, you don't have, that's not permission to go and eat everything. You eat what you want to, but you have a choice. So I think that not thinking of yourself as a victim anymore and really reclaiming that ownership was a turning point for me, because it means that from here on, I get to decide what I put in my body. No one can force me to have anything that I don't want to have. And I can say yes when I want to say yes, and I can say no when I want to say no. So that's good advice to moving forward.
Yeah.
And
you don't have a great time in the social connections and things like that without having to bring food into it. You know, I think with cultural
and moderation as well. Yeah. Moderation, like I love pizza, but I can still have a slice of pizza. I don't have to eat the whole pizza. Or I can have, I think it's just everything in moderation is a good thing. I've never said that I'm never going to eat something unhealthy for the rest of my life. I'm not like all or nothing, but it's just a healthy balance. Like I think that my preference will always actually be healthy food, because it just makes you feel good. And I don't think I realized beforehand when I was eating crappier food, the impact it has on your, like the way you feel. And then you're like really grumpy and you take it out on everyone else. But when you're eating well, it makes you feel better about yourself. And it impacts the way that you show in the world. Like I had so much more energy, the way that I approached my business and family and friends. It was like from a place of feeling really empowered and in control and having this clarity and focus that I hadn't had before. Because if most of us are honest, like if you overeat, it makes you feel really, really crap. And when you feel really crap, like you want to sleep it off or whatever, but you can't perform at your best. You can't be your best version of yourself if you're not taking care of your body first. And I don't think that I'd ever noticed or really paid attention to that connection, but I've noticed a change in how I interact with myself and others now when I'm fueling my body with all the nutrients that it needs and just taking better care of it and doing more exercise and so forth.
Your kids must have been very proud of you when you came in the top 10.
I honestly cannot tell you. I think that we've got video footage of like watching the results come. I could not believe it. I could not. There was no one that was more surprised than me. But they were, I think they were, yeah, they were so impressed. I'm someone that like when I set a goal, like I'll do anything to get it. Sorry, my goal wasn't to get in the top 10. I didn't even know what that meant at the beginning of the challenge, but I did want to lose 5 kilos. That was my goal that I thought was realistic. It's all about having realistic expectations. I never said that I was going to lose 10 kilos and I knew I could do more than one or two. So I thought that 5 just seemed like a good amount to go for. And actually in the second challenge, I've just finished it, but I lost 3 kilos in that one. And I know it's because I was a little bit more lax and relaxed with my expectations. I, you know, didn't follow it. I think it was like because of lockdown, didn't have any more. We were going out and about, but that was also what I said. What I said I was going to do, I was going to lose 5 kilos in that first one. I aimed for 3 and I did those things. And I think that when you have kids, it's easy to say you're going to do something, but when you follow through with action, it shows them that they can do it too. I love like setting big goals and showing them that it can be done, no matter how old you are.
That's true. But also, can I just point out that 5 plus 3 is 8, so you've lost about 8 kilos. So like,
I love it.
That's pretty good. I mean, you're not a huge person anyway. You're little, so that's a lot of weight.
See, I'm like stepping back in time. I was someone who grew up like really, really thin. It was like my parents used to always try to. That was just my natural build. Mm-hmm. So for me, when I got to, I didn't start putting on extra kilos till I was 40. Around the same time that I started working from home, like that's the correlation. And so, even though like my weight, if I put on 1 or 2 kilos, it just was too much for me. Mm-hmm. So 8 kilos for me was 8 kilos that I did not need to carry. It was probably like pure fat. There was no muscle happening at that point because I wasn't doing any exercise. That's why I also think that if anyone's on a weight loss journey and they're losing 1 kilo at a time or two, that's a lot. Or 2 kilos, like go and weigh a liter of milk. That's heavy. You can lose that much weight off your body. That's impressive. Just 1 kilo is impressive. And then you add it and you do it slowly, step by step. And eventually, like I said, trust the process and have faith and you will get there. And it does feel incredible. But it is from taking action, just following the plan, like eating well, moving your body. I know it's so simple, and having the thoughts in place. You can't ever lose weight by telling yourself, I can't do it. It's too hard. I'm never going to be skinny again. Like you have to say to yourself, you know, I believe it's possible. I can do it. Just have faith in yourself. Just take it slowly and you'll get there. Like you really have to be your own best friend. Like got to have that internal cheerleader cheering you on, because I think that often that inner critic inside us becomes our own worst enemy. And on this journey, you've got to have your own back, and you have to support yourself with encouraging thoughts. You've got to believe in yourself. You've got to believe that you can do it. Even when you have those down days, like even if that voice of doubt enters your mind, you've got to be able to pull it into gear and just say, no, 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 I can do this. Even if I sometimes sleep, I just get back and I keep on moving in the right direction.
So what was your biggest challenge? Because you've just done two, you know, within the challenge, what was your biggest challenge along the way, would you say?
Okay, with the first one, I would say it was having to embrace patience, because like you're so, you know, when you're working really hard, I'm not going to say working hard, but you want it so bad and you're doing all the right things, but the results aren't evident to begin with and you really have to wait. So sometimes I would like eat really well, I'd do my exercise and I still would like step on the scales just to like monitor how I was going. And the scales wouldn't move, but I knew that I was doing all the right things. I think that was frustrating at the beginning because I was having faith that the results weren't, you know, like you expected to happen a lot quicker. So I had to just like remind myself, okay, it will eventually happen because I'm doing all the right things. So it's like continuing to have faith in yourself, even though the results might not come until later. And for me, I think I lost a little bit at the beginning, but then the results sort of like increased a lot towards the end. Mm-hmm. But maybe had I not been in the challenge, I would have given up because I'd done it for 2 weeks and, you know, nothing was happening. But I stuck with it for the full 6 weeks. And then I was rewarded for my patience and for being persistent with eating really well and exercising. It was like keeping it really simple. So that, I think, was the challenge in the first one, having patience and waiting for the results or wanting the results to come sooner. Even though I knew that that wasn't realistic, of course I had to wait, but the waiting was harder. It's almost like when a kid's waiting for like something special to happen, they have to still wait. And as much as I was excited that I knew eventually this was going to work because I had faith and I believed in the challenge and the results that were possible, I still had to wait. So just taking it slow. With the second challenge, I think the biggest challenge for me, and it was just unique to that particular challenge, and maybe no one else is ever going to face it, but we've just been in our lockdown for so long. And we came back out and I was so used to having that freedom of, you know, eating according to plan. But there was so much more socializing happening once I came out and I hadn't yet learned to navigate that. Like I didn't have that experience or practice of like going out to dinner and I was just ordering what I once upon a time would have ordered and not like sort of working out how I'm going to deal with, you know, like you can't go out to dinner and eat a massive meal every single night, like according to what I would have normally eaten. Like I still wasn't making the healthiest choices. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna have pizza again, I'm gonna have pasta. Mm-hmm. Stuff that is like you can eat every now and then, but it's not healthy for anyone to eat massive meals like that every day. So I was just like learning to navigate the life outside of lockdown.
Yeah,
but like, I think I've gotten a really good handle of that now. Yeah.
I think I don't think that that's necessarily unique to you. I think a lot of people struggled with that. I think everybody, like, I mean, all of us in Melbourne, in anywhere, it's been insane. So I don't blame anyone for sort of trying to re-navigate everything, including socialising, because your first way of bonding with people really to socialise is to do what they're doing, to mimic what they're doing. Yeah. Like everyone's just drinking a whole bunch of stuff and eating everything. You have to re-navigate that. And especially also like, you know, if you're looking pretty good, then you've also got to separate yourself from the people that have just eaten their way through lockdown. And then there's that separation. So you want to try and bring yourself to the social level of those other people. So there's so much to navigate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to an occasion the other day and someone said to me, you wouldn't eat this cake, would you? And it was like in an aggressive way. And I'm like, nah, I wouldn't because I'm over even trying.
Yeah.
But it's a way to, you know, for people to kind of bond with you over food. So you have to find a new way.
You do practice, because that's interesting, because I was such a sugar holic, or whatever that word was before lockdown, and I really don't have sugar by choice now. And the same thing, like we went out to a friend, went to a party, and there was a graduation cake. And I would have eaten it just because it was given to me before. But I actually decided I don't even want that. And I said, just say, no, thank you. And I didn't have to excuse, you know, like when you sort of feel bad if you're not, like you said, if everyone else is drinking, you sort of feel like you should go along with the crowd. But like I said, this has been like, I've been practicing what I feel comfortable. Like I'm just going to drink however much I want to drink. And if I only want to have a drink, I'm just going to only have a drink. And if everyone else is eating sweets and I don't want to, I'm just not going to want to. But that's, I think, is how, like, it's just a practice. It's a skill that you have to practice. And for me, I've decided that I'm willing to learn the skills that I need over time. I don't have to have it, like, I'm not going to fall off a, well, not that there's a wagon, because this is my whole life. Like, you know, we should all eat well and hopefully, you know, make health a priority. If you want to live a long and healthy life, you have to make choices today that are going to get you to that end goal, as opposed to, well, for me now, I know that if I eat crap, I'll feel really crap. I think I just don't want to ever feel that crap anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You never want to.
Yeah, I don't want to go there anymore.
I mean, this year, like, yeah, last couple of years have been generally not the best for most people anyway. So, you know, onwards and upwards from here for you. So what advice would you give to other future challenges? So say in the January challenge, the next challenge is the 31st of January. What advice would you give?
Okay. So for me, I'd never done a challenge before. I was a total newbie. I do think that that advice that I tell myself every single day, trust the process and have patience, like be willing to stick it out for 6 weeks and believe in yourself, like believe that you can do it and decide that losing weight doesn't have to be hard. That was something that I started to think, what if losing weight was actually easy? Like what if you could do it? And you actually have to just commit and be 100% all in. So for me, that I decided that above all, that was going to be my priority. Like I still, obviously, I'm a mom and I've got kids and I was still working, but I needed to make sure that for those 6 weeks, I was willing to eat well and just consistently. I couldn't go to the gym. I just went for my walks and just, you know, try to do strengthening exercises and so forth. But just commit, like commit to it and believe in yourself, believe that you can do it.
That's fantastic.
I mean, it's so simple, but you have to believe that you can do it. Like, believe that it is possible for you. For me, I mean, I'd be the perfect example for anyone. Like, if anyone was to see my before photos, I was like in a really bad place. Like, most of the people in the top 10 were like gorgeously fit already, and then they just became even fitter. I was someone like that started off really bad and then got to a really good place, which means if I could do it, there isn't a person in the world that couldn't do it too, because I literally just followed the plan, gave myself some grace and trusted the process. That was really, I don't think it gets any easier than that. It's what you have to do and show up for yourself. Show up.
That's awesome. So before we wrap it up, Frances, what is your personal mantra? Just to put you on the spot.
Okay. So I just know that if, I've always loved this quote that I heard, like, even I think I was a teenager, but if you always do what you always did, you're always going to get what you always got. Mm-hmm. So using that information, knowing that if you want changes to happen, you have to do things differently. In order to get different results, you have to do things differently, think differently, feel differently, you'd be inspired, you've got to be confident about your choices, you've got to be motivated, you've got to find the thoughts that fuel that, and that's going to lead you to taking the actions that will get you the new results. But you cannot get different results if you're doing the same things day in, day out and not making changes. So I like to think, I mean, my mantra is always like looking in the future and what do I want to create, and then working backwards. Okay, so if that's what my future self looks like, what would I have to be thinking then, like now, in order to create those results? What would I have to be feeling? What are the actions that I have to be doing in order to get those results in the future?
Fantastic. I love that. Well, we can leave it there with that, because your future self is going to listen to this and say, I'm glad that I set myself up in such a great way. So thank you so much.
Thank you as well for having me. It has honestly been, like I said, an honor and a privilege. This counts. I haven't gotten many medals and awards in my life. So that medal that I got for that top 10 is definitely like a source of pride. It's like hanging from a wall. I love it. So
that is so cool. Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Frances.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, and I wish everyone the best of luck.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.